On today's episode of The Good Word, Amin El Hassan joins us to discuss all of the trade deadline news, including Kevin Durant deciding to have his free agency start a little bit early, Jimmy Butler going to the Warriors, and the Lakers being the Lakers. All that and much more coming up right now. Finally, the trade deadline is over. Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwolf, senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. A bit of business before we get into the show today. Don't forget, we are on YouTube. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to that. And also rate, review, subscribe wherever you consume this podcast in an audio form. My partner today is my man, Amin El Hassan of Metal Lark. What is it? Is it just Metal Lark Entertainment? Metal Lark Media? Is that what it is?
Metal Lark Media.
There we go.
Metal Lark Media.
Metal Lark Media, Dan Lepetard, and that whole crew over there. No better person to bring on in the aftermath of the trade deadline. I am in Los Angeles for some reason. I'm here. But, Amin, I feel like we got to start with this Jimmy Butler trade to Golden State. By the time you hear this, the first game will be over. Jimmy Butler's not playing. Neither is Mark Williams from the Lakers. Neither is Luka Doncic. But before we get to that, Amin, I'm more fascinated at the fact that Kevin Durant said, oh, no, don't send me back. Don't send me over there. I'm more fascinated that they went so far down the primrose path of getting ready to make a sizable trade. Like the iteration that I'd heard said Jimmy Butler was going to land in Phoenix. Kevin Durant was going to land in either Miami or Golden State, but for purposes of this conversation, Golden State for a reunion with Steph, Steve Kerr, and Draymond Green. And then Kevin Durant said, hey, if y'all want to send me somewhere, can y'all not send me there?
Yeah.
I just want your thoughts. I'm just going to give you the floor because I'm fascinated by all of this.
Couple of things. Number one, as we talk about that part of the deal, just him going to Golden State and him saying, no, I don't want to. I was having a conversation with Izzy Gutierrez, and Izzy said, yeah, I could see him not wanting to go because it would look like his tail between his legs. You left our warm bosom, went out into the wilderness, figured out the world wasn't so soft and cuddly as you thought it was, and now you're back. And I was like, I just thought about the opposite. I was like, Kevin Durant, and now you guys are coming to me, begging me to come back. You need me because it's not really working out for you guys right now. But either way, he didn't want to do it. And now we have to throw out the disclaimer. I haven't talked to Kevin Durant. I don't know what he thinks. I'm not his best friend. We don't communicate. I've never had an in-person conversation with him. He hasn't texted me about this specifically, because he gets upset. You know, Vinny, when we say, oh, why are y'all trying to get in my head? So look, I'm just saying, I can imagine that he left Golden State because he had achieved what he wanted to achieve doing it their way. And now he wanted to see, well, what can I do doing it my way? And he goes to Brooklyn and then to Phoenix in pursuit of that, of winning a championship at the highest level, doing it his way. And so to go back to Golden State would be to abandon doing it his way. And I don't think he's very interested in abandoning doing it his way. That's just my totally unbiased, not sourced, didn't talk to anybody opinion, just so that he doesn't get upset because I'm assuming that I know what he's thinking.
I think if I'm KD, I completely understand because sometimes you can have a great relationship with somebody. It can have a really sour ending. You can see that woman in the street again X amount of years later and be like, oh, it's really, really good to see you. And the second that she says, you want to go grab a drink? You're like, I don't think so. You know,
have
you
ever seen that path?
It's a deleted scene in Hitch. You ever seen a deleted scene in Hitch?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
So I can't think of the girl's name. The girl that made Hitch.
Eva Mendes.
No. The black girl in the flashback.
Okay. All right. I can't remember. I was like, Eva Mendes. I got so excited.
No. When Will Smith was like the nerd that fell in love with the first girl he saw.
Yeah.
And he was caught, like he was just all in love with her. And then he caught her in the car making out with another dude. And he was just like desponding and everything else, turned him into who he was.
There's that a deleted villain origin story for him. Yeah.
Yes, yes. The woman's name is Robin Lee. I think she was in what, like, whenever like the all girl, the all black girl ensemble, you know what I'm saying? Ensemble films. Yeah. She's in one of those. Yeah. Like, fine as all get out, right? Let's make that perfectly clear. She fine, right? Yes. So in a deleted scene, and I don't know why they didn't put it in the movie, deleted scene, he runs into her at like a coffee shop, like as a, you know, as full hitch. And she almost forgets his name. But then she says, oh, I'm in town. I'm looking for, you know, something to get into. He gets on the phone. He makes a call. He says, oh, yeah, it's just a friend of mine. Tell him it's hitch. So she sees that he's got the juice, right? Like, the dude that I dumped, that I played, he got the juice. She tried to put his hand on his leg. He did like the, nah, it's not, you know, not really. And then she said, do you want to go grab a bite to eat or something like that later? And he was like, it was great seeing you.
You know, it's funny that you should use that analogy, because for the deal that ended up being consummated, Jimmy Butler going to the Warriors and the Heat getting Andrew Wiggins and a variety of other things. I said it. Both of those teams were both, for a significant portion of time during the, you know, Wednesday before the trade deadline, were thinking, oh, we're about to get Kevin Durant, right? And both of them struck out. And it's like being at the club, and then at like the lights come on, and they're like, you going home with somebody? No? All right. Like, you want to go home with me? Sure. It's not your first choice, but it'll do. Because I could see ways where both of those teams have improved themselves slightly in the short term from what they were 24 hours ago. I could also see some other issues arising down the line. And I could see how everyone saved a little bit of money from not, you know, from going below the apron or from not paying for it, if you will, at the club.
Put it like this. I want to get to the Jimmy Butler fit, because I think that is completely fascinating on a number of levels. Here's where I want to finish up with Kevin Durant. Right. A, the Suns season is done, right? Whatever was left of their season, to me, is going to be so awkward and so heavy and so dark that there is nothing you're going to get out of it, even if you weren't going to get anything out of it anyway. But the more pressing thing to me, Amin, is that the Kevin Durant free agency starts right now, because he's got 2 years left on his contract after this season. And
he's got 1 year left after this season.
A 1 year left.
He's got,
I thought it was 1 year in the player option.
I mean, come on now. What are we talking about here?
But
he said the player option. You think he's out here?
So basically, and for all intents purposes and all that type of stuff for the fans here, when a player has 2 years left on his contract, he can't extend. See Jimmy Butler, see Anthony Davis after next season, right? You can extend with 2 years left on your deal, especially if it's a player option on the back end of that. The Phoenix Suns just said, we got to get out of the Kevin Durant business if they were trying to trade him to Golden State, which means Kevin Durant says, I don't want to be anywhere that I'm not wanted, which means where's Kevin Durant going this summer?
This summer? Hell, man.
It's going to be this summer. This summer.
I'm looking at the NBA draft and trying to figure out where he's going.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess technically that's when...
That's the summer.
When the summer begins, yeah. But, no, I mean, look, Vinny, like, it's funny. A lot of people took a lot of shots at Nico Harrison this week about not getting enough for Luka Doncic. And I'm not here to say he got enough for Luka Doncic. I also think they could have got more, at least from draft capital standpoint. I think they got the player they wanted. I just thought one first-round pick was a little light. That's not the point. The point is, people were like, why didn't he open it up and talk to all these teams? I said, you want to try trading your franchise player who's 25 years old, who is happy, and then not get what you were looking for, and then try to walk in on Friday morning, like, hey, Luka, you have a good night last night. Like, you jeopardize everything there. In many ways, he had one shot to deal this dude.
Yep.
He called two teams, right? The unnamed team that we don't know.
Do you have a thought Lakers on who that team is?
I my guess has been Giannis. I've been told it's not Giannis, but that was my guess, right?
My guess was that it was Giannis. I had another off the wall guess. I'm gonna be perfectly honest with you. The Grizzle?
Oh, for Ja?
And?
Nah. Oh, Ja and. Oh, well. And now you have my attention. But the point being, right, is
that's a guess, y'all. That's not a report. That's a guess. Let me make sure that's
just
clear.
It's a guess. Me too. Mine was a guess too. So, but like the point is, when you have something like that, that is, this is G14 classified. Shout out to Shaq. You cannot shop it like it's Mark Williams and sit there and say, that's not enough. You can't do that. You have one shot to get this done. And if it doesn't get done, you have to pray to God that the person you're dealing with is not vindictive or forgetful in any way, because that could come back and blow up in your face. The Phoenix Suns basically are experiencing that right now. You tried to trade Kevin Durant, who did not want to be traded. And that's the most important part here. If he had been like, guys, I don't know where we're going with this, that's one thing. But he didn't. In essence, he thought he was going to be playing with Jimmy Butler a month ago, right? And now you're saying, oh, you're trying to get rid of me for Jimmy Butler? That trust is fractured. And now, like you said, Vinny, you better pack the bags and make sure you got a full sweepstakes out of it, because he's not going to be here, I don't think, opening night next year.
No, he can't be. If we know anything about Kevin Durant, even though he will be 37 years old at the start of next season, I don't care that he's going to be 37 years old at the start of next season. He's Kevin Durant. Y'all better figure it. Like, he's going to be one of the most fascinating free agents. That's not a free agent, I mean, in a way that, because the whole league knows, what do you bid, theoretically? Not to sound like Dennis Schroeder, but what do you bid for Kevin Durant, who's going to be 37 years old, who reasonably healthy, but you wonder about the impact on winning. Like, he can still drive winning, but I feel like he more influences winning right now. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I think he drives winning. Look, the Suns, I think when Booker and Durant play, something like 23-11.
They're still very
successful when he's healthy with the appropriate supporting cast. There's a alternate universe where the Phoenix Suns acquire Kevin Durant and then they just stop there and they don't do the Beal deal. And it's like, this thing looks completely different. It's fiscally more sound. And I'm not even talking about keeping Chris Paul. I'm just saying, not Beal. Fiscally sound. It's basketball balanced. And maybe they've won a championship. Maybe they're competing for a championship. But it looks a lot different than what it is now. I think you could still absolutely get Kevin Durant. You're going to have to accept that he's very particular in the way he wants things to be done. He's a basketball genius, right?
Yes.
As are a lot of these elite talents. A savant, right? But sometimes with a savant, you're going to deal with a lot of yes, but is what it is. Yes, but whatever. Like, okay, we're going to play. Yeah, but why don't we do it? Like, there's a lot of that goes on with genius. Sometimes a genius is like, yo, me and you, we're on the same page. Whatever you want. You like it, I love it, right? And sometimes there's always like, well, on the other hand, and that for some organizations and for some coaches can be a tiresome routine.
Now, for those who don't know, Amin is a veteran of front office. He's now a veteran of media, but he cut his teeth, no pun intended, Amin, in the front office. I never asked you what happened. I was going to ask you an All-Star, but he he cut his teeth.
Might be fixed by All-Star.
He cut his teeth in the front office of the NBA. And there were trades that you've told me about that have never happened, but looked like it was going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, big-time trades that alter people's careers, their championship trajectories, even your career as an executive, all this other type of stuff. Have you ever seen anything that was rumored to happen, it didn't happen, there was an iteration of it, and it all seemed to be botched because somebody didn't ask the right question?
Like the deal got botched or the aftermath? Oh, the deal got botched because you didn't. I would imagine that happens a lot. I'm trying to think of a specific example, but I know there's always that moment like, oh, I didn't know I could have asked for that. That happens. Like, was that it? Was that the only thing standing in the way? I'll give you an example that it didn't botch it ultimately, but this is a great example. When James Harden wanted to get traded to the Clippers were saying, Trey Mann, you can't put Trey Mann in this deal. Oh, I'll give you all. I'll give you one, right? So everyone knows the Steph Curry should have been a Phoenix Suns story. Like a million people have told it a million different ways. I think I've told it in the most detail of anybody who's been in the media. And that includes David Griffin and Steve Kerr, who are the actual ones working the deal, right? But the original iteration of the deal was Anthony Randolph and Andrus Biedrins and the pick. And I'm talking about for months, we're trying to convince them to do this. And they're like, no way, Anthony Randolph, no way. No way, no way, not Anthony Randolph. And it's like, I look back, by the way, the deal was for Amari Stoudemire. They were going to get Amari Stoudemire out of this. And they were going to give up Anthony Randolph, Andrus Biedrins, and a pick that we didn't even know. This was well before where we knew there was going to be a lottery pick, at least the Warriors. But we didn't know who was going to be.
Right.
We didn't know where it was going to be. And then
right.
Eventually, they talked us out, and we turned it to Brandon Wright. Brandon Wright, Andrus Biedrins, and a pick. And at that point, we knew what the pick was going to be. It was going to be the 7th pick. And so we're like, okay, all right, we'll take our chances. And to be there on draft day and see, like, name after name go off the board, like, holy shit, is this about to happen? It's you know what it's like? You ever seen the Freshman's episode where they tape the lottery numbers, and then they fool Jeffrey into thinking that it's the live reading? And he's like, so it's 40, 41, I'm rich. Like, that's exactly what it was like. And then to have basically Don Nelson and Larry Harris, not Larry Harris.
Larry Ellison.
Was it Larry Harris? What was my man Larry? Not Larry Harris, the other Larry.
Not Larry Ellison.
Who was in the, not Larry Ellison. Larry Ellison is the billionaire. No, Larry, right. Whoever, it's Larry. My man Larry and Don Nelson basically being Will and Carlton, be like, hey, G, we got to tell you something. You can't quit your job because it was all a big joke. Ha ha. It changed their mind. And in that instance, it botched it for us, certainly. Right. And clearly, things worked out really well for the Warriors. But for a little while there, it's like, yeah, don't you wish you had Amari Stoudemire? And at that point, also, I think Jason Richardson was part of that deal, too. Like, that would have been really cool for them. Monte Ellis, Jason Richardson, Amari Stoudemire. That's like Don Nelson's dream as far as guys. So that happens a lot, my point being. It happens a lot where it gets botched. I think I told you the Kevin Garnett story.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah,
Kevin Garnett, like, it got botched because Dan Fagan basically said, nah, we're not taking a pay cut. And so every step of the way, there are these type of things. This also comes down to communication, because I don't know what was communicated internally to the Suns and Kevin Durant specifically. Mm-hmm. I do know that Steve Kerr, when he was a general manager, when he would address the team, he would say, I love you all. I love our team. Also, if we have an opportunity to make our team better, nothing's off the table. There are no untouchables. I'm not shopping people, but, like, if there's an opportunity, we will explore it. That's my job. And as such, like, when it came, like, when we traded Shaq, that's the only place he didn't trash on the way out, because he felt like we gave him the respect of, hey, man, like, this is there was actually a deal we had to send Shaq to Portland, and Shaq said, I don't want to go. And Steve Kerr said, you know what? The deal isn't good enough for us for me to be like, well, I don't care what you want. And so he let him stay. And then we ended up training with Cleveland at the end of the year, and he was very happy about it until obviously he had to actually live in Cleveland. But point being, like, I think players respect when you are upfront and honest with them. What they don't respect is when you're like, you're fine, we love you, you're going to be great here, and then you try and pull something like that, and then you're unsuccessful. That's tough. That's tough.
For me, the Golden State Warriors had to do their homework on before you get down to the 2-yard line.
Obviously, not enough homework was done.
You've got, I'm sure you did some homework. You just didn't do all the homework, right?
Not enough homework.
Not enough. You did enough homework to do a C job on the test, not an A job, right? You had half-ass cleaning up, you know, it's like something like that. Like, they did a half-ass job of doing recon where you're at the 2-yard line, or you think you're at the 2-yard line, and then you are informed by Kevin Durant, no, I don't want to be here. So now you have to circle back to the disgruntled Jimmy Butler. And that's where we start here. Jimmy now has his extension. He's playing with Stephen Curry. He's on Stephen Curry's team. This is the first time that this hasn't been Jimmy Butler's team since 2019 when he was traded to the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, granted, they went further with Jimmy. They were, you know, a jump shot away that would have sent the game into overtime. Who knows if they would have won or not. Bounce, 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 bounce. It's Kawhi Leonard. So Jimmy Butler has shown that he can function not being the headliner. I think he functions better on the floor, I mean, with the way that Golden State plays, because he generally plays the right way. He generally knows the right things to do. Like, he's adept, he's smart, all of that type of stuff. We just think of Jimmy Butler being the disruptor and Jimmy Butler being the and I think it's much more complicated and layered than that.
This is what, you know, we talked about it for a month and a half, pretty much, of Jimmy's kind of modus operandi. It's to make a mess when what? It's not just out of the blue. It's about one specific thing. Are you going to pay me? No? Then get me out of here. Send me somewhere where they are going to pay me. I don't want to deal with it, right? So Chicago, although they ended up paying him, but then obviously the trust was fractured there, and then firing Tibbs and bringing in Fred Hoiberg. Minnesota, didn't want to pay him. Philadelphia, didn't want to pay him. Miami, paid him, and then this last time, didn't want to pay him. That's all it is. Once he gets paid, once he gets to the new place, he's pretty good. It's just that piece right there, and he knows him and his agent are masters at manipulating the system to get what they want, which is we're going to play for the team we want to play for, and we're going to get paid to play for the team that we want to play for. Golden State, in essence, by signing this extension, getting him to sign this extension, that part, which is the most volatile part of Jimmy being has been settled. So now he comes in, and like you said, like in Philadelphia, what y'all need me to do? What y'all need me to do? I'll do it, right? Because he knows he's respected in the only language that really matters in the NBA. You respect me? Show me the money.
In the NBA, that's anywhere. Well, like, let's not behave as if Jimmy Butler is operating in some vacuum and that we all don't view currency as the ultimate respect. Appreciation is currency. Yep. Respect?
Yes.
Currency. Currency is currency. Nothing else.
The currency of currency is currency.
The currency of the currency is currency. So I can play on Steph Curry's team. That's cool. Like, I think the people who focus on, oh, Jimmy Butler doesn't take threes and all that, I think they miss you talk about the basketball savant. Jimmy's not the basketball savant like Kevin Durant, but Jimmy knows the way that basketball should be played.
Bang. Absolutely. Absolutely. To use the old Larry Brown saying, he plays the right way. Play the right way, right? And when you think about how he fits in, first of all, play the two, can play the three, can play the four, right? And guard those positions legitimately, which allows you to play small ball lineups where Draymond's five and Jimmy's four and not give up an inch because those guys are both two sons of you-know-whats, right? Then, you know, like everyone's like, he can't shoot threes. Well, last season, he shot like close to 38-39% from three. So he's shown, albeit not with volume, but he can make them. And then you think about all the play options. Now, everyone keeps thinking about the way Golden State plays. They're going to have to change some of it to accommodate for what he does. This isn't like Kevin Durant coming in 2016, because when Kevin Durant arrived in 2016, they had the number one offense we'd ever seen in our lives.
Right.
So it's like, hey, we don't have to change Kevin Durant. You're going to fit in the way we play, right? And even then, by the end of year three in Golden State, they had incorporated a lot more ISO packages for Durant. In this case, Jimmy Butler is coming to a team. Offense
ain't
is
that great on offense.
Yeah, you didn't win 73 games, guys. You guys are floundering around 500. So there isn't any. It's not like an article of like the Bible. You have to remain faithful to the sacred texts of split cuts. And no, man, we can do this thing where Jimmy Butler posts up, and then the guys are doing stuff on the back end. We can do this stuff where Jimmy Butler's ball handling and Steph Curry setting a ball screen for him. We can do this stuff where, you know, we are given to an ISO in the mid post. These are all things that can be introduced because these are the things that are going to make them overall more successful.
Amin. He got the likes of, you know, lack of a, I say this with all due respect. He got the likes of Gabe Vincent and Max Strus and older Kyle Lowry. He got them an abundance of easy, open three-pointers just because of the gravity that he creates on his controlled drives. He's not driving to try to dunk on you. He's driving to get you to compromise. And who was the greatest benefactor of compromised defenses in the history of basketball?
30.
This ain't that hard to see. Like sometimes we're overthinking the thing and we're saying, Jimmy Butler isn't going to fit in. No, Jimmy Butler does fit in. Jimmy Butler can be, for one, Jimmy Butler can be coached. For two, Jimmy Butler is the type of dude that I'd rather y'all get shots than me. That's cool. Number three, him and Draymond Green being on the same team, is that going to be something? Maybe. But Jerry Stackhouse is there. So if you want to have a three-way battle royale, let's have it.
You know what? That's the part I'm least concerned about.
Exactly.
Right? And it's not just because Draymond said, when they asked him, how do you guys fit? He says, he's a winner, I'm a winner. That's the fit right there. We win. I'm like, yeah, to me, they're about the same things.
Mm-hmm.
They are about the same things. They're about playing the right way and putting winning above all else within the basketball court. Obviously, money is still money. The currency is still currency, right?
The currency is currency.
But within the 94 by 50, playing the right way and winning above all else, above my stats, above all that stuff. Those guys both think in very similar ways. And so from that standpoint, they're going to be great. And I think from the standpoint of like just toughness, right? It's not just Draymond being, here comes my brother Draymond, who's just loses control all the time. It's like, no, now you got a couple of them. And so you can detract from it if you want, but it makes people think twice now, like before you start messing around. And like you said, Stack is right there in the waiting.
Hey, for those who don't know, if you've ever shaken Jerry Stackhouse's hand, you will understand. My back hurt for a week.
My man literally showered, put on a suit, did all his media stuff, then changed from the suit back into the practice gear to go whoop somebody's ass.
And head said player apologized to him a year later and said, you know what? Yep. I needed that. You straightened me out. Straighten me out with your fists? That's what we doing? Remember.
Scared straight.
Remember, I've never seen Jeff Hornacek in a fight in my entire life. And guess who gave him hands? Jerry Stackhouse.
I wonder if, like, Stack would take that back now. Because, like, come on, man. Like, come on, man. Like, I'm sure Jeff did something that basically elicited a response.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of response, I want to believe a more mature Jerry Stackhouse would be like, I could just slap him one time and it would have been done. I don't have to do what? He sat on top of him and wailed. He looked like a cartoon, man. There was just a cloud of dust and fists coming out.
That's what it was.
And that's, by the way, that's not the player we're talking about. When we say the guy who had to apologize a year later, who hit on the bus and all that.
No, that's a different player. What's that? I can't think of his name.
I can.
He played for Utah, though. That's crazy. Why is he always getting fights in Utah?
Okay. Let's not narrow it down anymore.
Okay. All right. Cool.
But yes, so I think there are legitimate questions for how it's going to fit offensively because they're going to have to change, Vinny.
Right.
And change is hard. I know everyone says, I'll change, I'll sacrifice. But change is hard. But I think ultimately you're right. It makes them better than they were yesterday. It gives them a legit secondary score, which they've been searching for all year long. And with enough time now in the standings where, okay, we can make a legitimate push here up the standings. Because at the end of the day, even though they're right now 11th, they're three games behind sixth, which is the Clippers. They're, five games behind the Lakers. It's not out of the stretch of the imagination that they could catch up with the teams ahead of them.
No, look, it's when you start playing the games behind game, that means you almost have to beat all the teams that are in front of you in your head to head matchups.
You have to
win by not by the point differential, but you gotta win those games to win the tiebreakers to take advantage of them.
The margin for error is It is. The margin of error is not large for them, but they've got the personnel to do it. They've just got to go. And that's the beauty of it, is because it's so condensed in the Western Conference, because you're seeing all these teams, one game counts for twice.
Yep.
It's a win for me and a loss for you. And so it's not like they're going to go beat up on the Wizards and like the Hornets over there, where you're getting the wins, but like, so are they.
Right.
You're going to see these teams. And so that's the opportunity to make up a lot of ground.
And here's the important thing. Because Jimmy Butler's going to be here for the next foreseeable future, right? You know you have to start tailoring your offense and how you do things to being around him. You got to figure out the Jonathan Kuminga conundrum, right? Because mm-hmm. that man's looking around like, y'all don't want to pay me, and y'all paid Jimmy Butler $120 million? I bet. Like there's more questions, but I think it's less questions to do with Jimmy Butler and more like the domino effect of all of those other things. But when we come back, we just talked Golden State. We're going to talk some Lakers. Back here on The Good Word with Amin Alhassan Amin. Last night I'm out to dinner. I'm in L.A. And I get a whiff of some noise that the Lakers are going to make another deal. And I'm like, what else they got?
Mm-hmm.
And what I got from it was that, for those who don't know, they got Mark Williams from the Charlotte Hornets, Dalton Connect, and their first round pick. Was it 27 or 31? One of the two.
31.
31.
A swap in 30 and an unprotected 31.
There you go. So, for one, Luka Doncic comes in on, he's traded out there on a Saturday. They have a conversation. Yep. On Monday, he says, I need a lob threat, basically. Like, what do you need? I need a lob threat. So you go get Mark Williams. There weren't a whole lot of lob threats, bigs on the market. Of course, they go get a center after Anthony Davis said, give me a center. And they say, yeah, go play Daniel Gafford, right? That's the center you're going
to
play with.
They got him a center. They got him two centers, to be honest with you.
They got him two, right?
Gafford and Lively, yeah.
This to me is almost like the thought of, for the first time, like, remember the Death Row Records poster that had Suge at the top, Dre, Snoop.
It's the silhouette. Pac. Well, it's not silhouette. It's in black and all you see the heads and...
Yeah. And for a long time with the Lakers, that was Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka, LeBron James, and Rich Paul.
Right.
That feels like that picture's a little different now. Because LeBron always needs shooting, and you traded Dalton Connect as a shooter to go get a lob threat that LeBron doesn't really have necessarily a whole lot of use for at this stage of his career. Have the Lakers turned this franchise over to Luka Doncic already?
Yeah, well, that's kind of the reporting that Chris Haynes had when the Doncic trade went down, is that this was communicated to Rich Paul that, hey, we're looking at this as the succession plan, right? In a very blunt way. Like, this step is for post LeBron. And, as such, the things are going to start to be to support and put an emphasis and a focus on Luka and not LeBron. That's just reality, and that's how it's going to be. The conversation that Luka had on Monday with Pelinka, you're right, because before that, there was talking about Vucevic and Jonas Valanciunas, and all of a sudden, now Mark Williams is in the mix. The other part of that is because, as you said, there aren't that many lob threats. There were centers on the market, but they weren't lob threats. Now, all of a sudden, the price just went up, because Jeff Peterson in Charlotte is like, look, I don't have to trade Mark Williams. We're fine. We're going to be terrible either way.
Mm-hmm.
But you're the one. You're the guys that need him. You need him. And if you need him, it's going to cost you. And what's it going to cost you? I need that unprotected first round pick far enough from the future where we don't know what's going to happen. And I need a pick swap too. And what that is, this is essentially the NBA's betting futures. We're betting futures. We're saying, I bet in 6 years, you're going to find a way to fuck this all up. That's basically what Jeff Peterson is saying. And Rob Pelinka is saying, I bet in 6 years it won't even matter because we'll be so great. We'll have done so much winning that even if we are terrible in 2031, I'll gladly give you that pick because it would have been worth it for all the success that we're having right here. The other part of this though, is this deal, in essence, if you say, oh, man, that's a lot, especially when you throw in Dalton Kincaid, it's a lot to give up for Mark Williams. You're not giving it up for Mark Williams. You got to look at it as all one big transaction. You mm-hmm. gave that up, plus Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and another first-round pick, for Luka Doncic and Mark Williams, which, if they're healthy, it's a worthwhile deal. It's not a whole lot. The question is if they're healthy, because the Mavericks traded Luka because they're worried about where his body's going to go as the years go by. And Mark Williams, we already know, through the first few years in the league, he hasn't been 100% healthy. So you say, okay, there is a chance for this to go wrong. If it goes right, if everyone's healthy, it's great. But if it goes wrong due to health, it could go really wrong. And you ask, what's an example of that ever happening? How about giving up 4 first-round picks and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for Paul George? Which it wasn't just Paul George. You did it because that's the only way Kawhi Leonard was going to come. So really, it was 4 first-round picks and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And if they stayed healthy, it would have been great. But they didn't, and we know how that turned out.
Well, I have one that's a little closer to home, if you are the Lakers, because yeah. we think of the Lakers being the franchise. They don't really draft you, right? They pluck you. Like, they drafted Magic Johnson, but that's the only one. They traded for Kobe Bryant. LeBron got there in free agency. Shaq was free agency. Kareem was a trade. Yeah. So all their guys, they get grown men, basically.
Yeah.
You groom them somewhere else, we'll come pluck you, right?
Yep.
But there was one player that we don't think of as being a Laker. We even forget he played for them, and he played for them twice. The first time he played for them, he came over, and they had the billboards, D12 stay, as in Dwight Howard. And nobody remembers that the Lakers went all out for Dwight Howard. He was their new Shaq, their new big, their new everything. And it not only did it fail and fail spectacularly, Dwight Howard was the first one to tell the Lakers no in free agency, right? The Lakers still have to woo and court Luka Doncic, even as he gets over the fact that he can't get that 350. That 350 is gone. I'm fascinated by the fact that the Lakers have to consider someone else first, and that we all have said Luka Doncic is going to be here for the next 10 years. And it's likely that he is, but it's not guaranteed.
It's not guaranteed. And by the way, if LeBron has a problem with that, Luka can very easily say, I learned it from watching you, Dad, because you were the one that taught everybody, look, we do short-term deals and hold the leverage and make sure they are servicing us the way that we think we should be serviced in terms of the supporting cast that we have around us. Luka Doncic, as you mentioned, has it another year and then I think an option. He can sign an extension. It's not going to be 350. If he goes 5 years, it's around 220. But as Bobby Marks and a lot of other cap people have pointed out, if he takes a shorter deal, like a 2+1, he can opt out when he gets his 10th year and then sign a longer-term deal.
The Jalen Brunson thing.
Yes, and recoup. Not all of it. He won't be able to recoup it all, but he'll recoup a good deal of amount of that money, just as long as he doesn't lock in for 5 years. And that does two things. One, it allows him to get that money back, but also it allows him to tell the Lakers, don't get too comfortable now. If you start messing around and thinking like, I'm just here, you can take me for granted, I might keep my options open, for sure. But again, I think the important thing out of all of this is whether it's, hey, you gave up so this or that for Mark Williams, or you're doing all this to keep Luka happy or whatever. Nico Harrison had the quote of the week, I think. A lot of people ridiculed him, but they don't realize what he's saying. Yeah, your favorite GM too, which is the future for us is 3 to 4 years. 10 years from now, we're probably not going to be here. Y'all will probably have either buried us or we've buried ourselves, right? Everyone's like, oh my God. Like, look, let me tell you something. Your favorite GM too. I can count on one hand, Vinny, the ones that care what happens in 35 or whatever, right? It's Andy Ellisberg.
Mm-hmm.
It's Sam Presti.
Mm-hmm.
It's R.C. Buford.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
That's probably about it.
Everyone else, you're on a timer.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do all this oh, pie in the sky, guess what? And we're going to move this, and then we'll be ready to pounce. No, man. You get on a timer, you got to get this done now. Mike Dunleavy, you got to get this done, right? James Jones, what do you call it? Ralph Stone, Daryl Morey, everyone's favorite guy.
Everybody's favorite guy.
Brad Stevens. Like, Brad Stevens, it's cool now because you just won one, but that wears off at some point.
Yeah, like next year. Like the next June in Boston, it wears off. They ain't too happy.
So in that sense, I mean, even Leon Rose, he resurrected the Knicks, something that a lot of people thought was going to take a lot more. But you don't think 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges might haunt them one day?
We know it will.
Like, that's... I mean, it's almost guaranteed that it's going to haunt them one day.
Yes.
They're all doing it because their justification is, if we win, it'll be worth it. They'll call me a lot of names. You know what they'll also call me? NBA champion. And that's the system that they're all operating on. It's not just Nico. They're all doing it, except for those guys that I mentioned, because they know I can do what's best for this organization and I'm not going to lose my job.
I'll tell you this. I used to think... Maybe it's I think it's more so a function of previous CBAs. I mean, I used to think that a championship window, if you had one of those guys and you had a reasonable amount of your core locked up, you could have a championship window for about 5 years. Not that you were going to win for 5 years, but you could be guaranteed, I'm in the second round of the playoffs with a reasonable chance of playing till June every year for 5 years. And you could plan your contracts around that. You could plan your long-term team building around that. Similarly, I felt like rebuilds would be around that same timeline, 3 to 5 years. More, if you're ambitious, 3, but 5 being maybe the long game, because that's around the time that those rookie contracts start coming to fruition and those guys start not outperforming the deals, but then you start paying them more and they better start backing it up. Now, Amin El Hassan, the window for competing, 2 to 3 years, the window for rebuilding, 2 to 3 years. Whatever it is, you better get this shit done quick.
Yeah. And you can thank Apron Talk for all of that, right?
Yes.
Because that's ultimately, Vinny, I went through this on Lebatard's show earlier. I said, like, once upon a time, the luxury tax was something they put in and said, hey, we're spending too much money. We need a luxury tax to make people spend less, to think twice before spending. Cool. Guess what? When you go beyond this threshold, for every dollar you spend, you're going to have to pay a dollar to the league. And we're going to split it up among all the non-taxpayers. And they did that. And that didn't stop the spending. So then they said, you know what it is? We need to make it progressive. So the first $10 million is a dollar. But then after that, it's $1.50, the next 10. And the next 10 after that, it's $2, whatever. And they said, that'll stop them. And that didn't stop them. They kept spending. So then they said, you know what it is? If you're a taxpayer like multiple years in a row or like 3 out of 4 years, it's going to be even crazier higher. And that didn't stop them. And then they realized, you know what stops people from spending? When you tell them, you know that cool way you like to improve your team? You can't do that anymore. Sign and trades, sayonara. Hey, one-on-one trades, got to match 100% salary for salary. You can't go 150% or whatever. Mid-level exception, you get a little itty-bitty one where everyone else goes shopping with this other one, right? Oh, you thought you were slick, you're going to use a mid-level exception and then try to be a taxpayer there? Nope. We're going to hard cap you. So it's all these things that are not really
and you
about
can, what and you get your draft picks frozen if you continue if your you future draft picks no one's, being frozen.
No one's gotten that far.
Right.
Because they found out it's not about the bill I got to pay, because these guys are billionaires and they're richer than the owners have ever been in the history of this league. Mm-hmm. So paying is no longer, I'll pay it. The bigger problem is if you pay that much, if you go to that payroll, you better be so in love with that team till death do us part. No prenup, no nothing. We're going to be here forever. And I love it, right? Because the moment it doesn't work, fixing it requires some very difficult decisions. And that's what this trade deadline was all about. It's about a bunch of teams realizing, I'm not as good as I thought I was. And if I continue down this path, I'm not going to be able to do anything. I'm going to be handcuffed to this team.
Speaking of which, the Milwaukee Bucks had to get under that second apron. So you trade Chris Middleton, like one of your franchise cornerstones, one of your pillars. Not as important as Giannis or Dame, but this is that dude put up 40 balls in the finals.
Yes, past tense.
Right. No, I'm with you. Clearly, he's not the player he was.
That's all this matters. Like, a lot of people are like, I can't believe they traded Chris Middleton. I'm like, what do you want, man? Like, they're trying to win a championship. He makes X amount of money,
mm-hmm.
and he's not that kind of player anymore. You got to do something, and do something they did. Because realistically, it doesn't really, like, they rearranged deck chairs, basically, on the Titanic. This team's not going to win a championship, right? It's highly unlikely it's going to win a championship, right? Kyle Kuzma is not the missing piece to a title team in Milwaukee, right? So if we accept that the odds of us winning a championship with or without Chris Middleton are pretty much the same, can we do this a little cheaper? That's all that is. And they did. They made moves.
They did. I won't even say I was surprised by it. It was just a thing, right? It was like you said. I'm going to ask Amin in the next segment. What was the most, I won't say surprising deal, but what was the most underrated deal? And I don't even think that would even fall under it. It was just, they traded Chris Middleton and they had Kyle Kuzma, mm-hmm. who I don't think is a bad player, but I think if you leave him to his own devices,
mm-hmm.
if you leave him without structure, you're going to have an issue where he's just going to do crazy town stuff.
There's two ways this can go. Right? There's mm-hmm. one way where it's Kyle Kuzma helped the Lakers win a championship. He was a good defender. He was a good rebounder. He was a great cutter off ball. He was an improved shooter. And you say, wow, that guy helped us win a championship. And he said, guys, thank you, but I want something more for myself. I want to do what others like Trevor Ariza and Aaron Aflalo and the people before me who were role players for good teams and Jeremy Grant. But they went out and they got paid and they went out and saw, hey, can I be a star in this league? Right? And then you go out in that wilderness and you realize, oh my God, the real world is pretty scary. And you say, how can I get back to a good team so I can just help them win? Right? That's one path. Mm-hmm. The other path is, I'm Kyle Kuzma. I helped this team win, all that stuff I just said. I'm sitting in coach class in emergency exit row. Good leg room. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, I'm one of the rows. They can tell by their device that I'm eligible for like one free drink. Like, yeah, I'll get a drink. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, we're all here. LeBron's up front, but we're all going to the same place. And then you get upgraded to first class and you hit that button and you go, whoop, lay flat, right? And then someone comes by and says, champagne before we take off? Like, oh, don't mind if I do, right? And you get used to, and hey, the plane may not be going to somewhere nice, but you're flying in style. And then you get to your connection and they say, all right, you're going to go back to the exit row. Remember the exit row? It was cool. You loved it. I can't sit. I've got a seatmate over here. Where's my little pod? Wait, I got to wait till we get in the air to get a drink. My seat only leans back. It's a hard adjustment sometimes. We're saying that Kyle Kuzma is going to come back from the cold and say, oh, I wish I'd never left the warmth of success. But I'm telling you that sometimes it's like, oh, that's all you got for me here, mm-hmm. a coach class seat. And that's the question, how he's going to help the Bucks. Which one walks through that door? The guy who's grateful to come in from the cold or the guy who's complaining about his coach class seat?
Fascinating. I think the Bucks as a whole is fascinating because whenever you see these teams do these win now moves, they dig themselves deeper and deeper. And that's why the second tax apron is so, hey, I hate it. Let's be perfectly honest. If a team wants to be dumb enough to go deeper and deeper into the abyss, let them. You do not have to save teams from themselves. Teams are not guaranteed to make money, to compete, to win championships or whatever. If they want to make stupid decision on top of stupid decision, if that's what it is, Adam Silver is not. It is not your job to be daddy.
Well, I mean, two things. One, they kind of still do. I mean, the Suns are an example of that. They went out there into the abyss, right?
Yeah.
And then two, the system was designed because they said, I need a daddy. You can't say it's not my job to be daddy. 30 guys got together and said, we need a daddy to tell us that we shouldn't be doing this. That's what they did. And it's there because they can't help themselves. And for as much as some of them might sit back and say, look, he's about to pay it again. A lot of them are, when they're in that situation, they're like, yeah, I'll pay.
When we come back, I'm going to ask Amin Alhassan his biggest winner and loser of the trade deadline on The Last Word. Time for the last word here with Amin Alhassan. Amin, we have gone through a lot. I don't know if there was an underrated deal out there that you thought was like, that's interesting. That might, you know, do something, move, not necessarily move the needle, but move a team from being around the fringe to winning the playoff round, or, you know, was the, like maybe the Cleveland deal. What was that?
Hunter yeah. for Caris LeVert.
In the minivan.
George Niang.
Yeah.
Yeah, the minivan. And a bunch of draft capital, not just one or two picks. This is what I'll say about that deal. First of all, it's incredibly ballsy for a Kobe Altman, right? Now, I'm not saying that's bad or good. I'm just saying it's ballsy because you got a team that has the best record in the conference. For much of the year, had the best record in the league and could still finish with best record in the league. There's a world where it's just like, hey, man, if it ain't broke, don't break it. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Charles Oakley.
Mm-hmm.
And he went out and he made a bold move. He went out and got DeAndre Hunter, who's under contract for a couple more years and is an excellent three-point shooter. And once upon a time was a stout perimeter defender. Maybe that's kind
then
of
he started scoring
on the wayside.
He started scoring 20, he started defending.
Yeah. But maybe that you get all back when you come into an environment like Cleveland where they're winning and scoring isn't really like a need for them as much as it was in Atlanta. So I like that deal. It felt like it was a lot because, again, you gave up two rotation guys, not two guys, two rotation guys, and a lot of draft capital for DeAndre Hunter, who I like, but isn't, you know, is not a superlative to me. The deal that might be around kind of the same type of move, obviously, but for a team that's a little bit more desperate, is the Suns moving Yusuf Nurkic and a first-round pick for Caleb Martin.
Mm.
Like 3 weeks ago, I posted on Threads. I said, man, somebody please emancipate Cody Martin from this hell that he's in. Because it's like, I'm watching the Hornets. I'm like, man, like, this guy could legitimately help a really good team. He plays on a bad team, but he can help a good team. It's not unlike what I felt about Josh Hart years and years ago when he was a rookie with the Lakers. And then when he got to the Pelicans, I'm like, this guy one day is going to help a good team. And everyone's going to be like, oh, man, he's really good. I'm like, he's been doing the same stuff. It's just when you do it for a bad team, nobody cares.
Right.
And it doesn't impact, it doesn't move the needle on whether we're going to win this game or not. But when there's talent and you're playing the right way and now you need to win in the margins, then the stuff he does is incredibly helpful. And I think Cody Martin is that kind of guy. And for a Phoenix Suns team that, again, when Durant and Booker play, is pretty good, I think Cody Martin gives them a lot of flexibility defensively. He's a streakier shooter than his brother, but still can help you some offensively as well.
Look, I'm going to just go right to winners and losers because that was the deal that I was legit thinking about. The winner for me is not a team that's going to win a championship this year. At least I don't think so. I don't think we'll be spending early June in L.A. But they set themselves up for the future. They have found their new guy. Like, I've said this stat before, and I don't think people get it. Since 1975, the Lakers have gone exactly seven seasons without having a headliner or two on the marquee. From the day that they traded for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to get to that 75 season, then to Magic Johnson, then Magic catches HIV in 91. You go 4 years without Magic. You go another two without Kobe after Kobe. And then you get LeBron. Now, theoretically.
16 to 19 was, so you said seven seasons, almost half of it was just right now, 16 to 19.
Yep.
Right there. That and like you said, Magic catching a virus that no one saw coming, right? That's it.
They always have a star. They always have a guy. And now, as desperate as they were for LeBron to come save them, and people are like, they'll never get a guy. They'll have to settle for Russell Westbrook and Paul George. Remember that? You got LeBron. You wound up getting AD. You got a championship out of it. And now you have Luka Doncic, who theoretically is going to be here for the next decade. I don't care if they don't win a playoff game, series, whatever. They can bottom out this year. They won the trade deadline. What
anytime
about you?
Anytime you get someone who picks up the phone and says, hey, do you want my 25-year-old who's only one of three players in NBA history to have five All-NBA teams by the age of 25 ever, and all you have to give up is a dude you weren't even sold on and two first-round picks and a pick swap and a couple of younger players who are good, but like you can get them any year in any draft. That's it? Like I didn't have to mortgage everything? Dog, like how like you said, they don't have to do anything. They can literally be Joe Clark in the jail cell. I ain't got to do Rob Pelinka. I ain't got to do shit but stay white and die, right? Like that's Rob Pelinka right now in his office. And he's right. He's right. All those people that was kind of like calling for his head the last couple of years, what's Rob doing and all that shit? He just bought himself. We talk about 3 to 4 years that he bought himself 5 years. They're right there.
Yeah, it's put it like this. Let's not act like Anthony Davis is Antonio Davis. That's all I'm gonna say. Yeah. Let's act like he's a backup big. He's trash. He's a top 10 player in the league.
And yes, he is.
He was now. Granted, Luka Doncic, of course, most of us will make that trade. All things considered, so nobody's trashing on Anthony Davis here. Does that make the Mavericks your losers of the trade deadline?
No.
Or do you view another franchise?
Look. We can sit here and say unequivocally, should have got more for Luka. But as we talked about earlier, it's easier said than done. Mm-hmm. It's when you're trying to keep it a secret. That's mm-hmm. one. And then two is, Nico's right. Who gives a shit if I didn't get the 2031 first round pick? If I'm not here, my job is to win now. And if I win now, guess what? It was all worth it. Mm-hmm. Right? Just like everything they gave up for AD, all those picks, Lonzo Ball and Josh Hart and Brandon Ingram. It was all worth it. They won. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. Like, yeah, but it doesn't matter. They won. That's why you do this. We do this to win. We don't do this to be pretty good for a long time. We do it to win. And so for them, I think with the moves they did, because they got Caleb Martin, I like that deal. Maybe, you know what? That's my sneaky deal. Take it back, Cody Martin. Sorry. Your brother Caleb going for Quentin Grimes and a second round pick?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I misspoke. Caleb Martin's a good deal. That's the one.
No, because some people are trying to trash that deal. And I'm like, no, that deal's a good deal.
You must be a Knicks fan or something, and you still think Quentin Grimes is some sort of savior. He's all right. You know what he hasn't done? I've never seen him dominate a conference finals against one of the best teams in the league. I've never seen him guard three positions, play four positions offensively, right? On meaningful playoff teams.
Right.
And Quentin Grimes has never done that.
Right.
I don't even know what he did in Detroit. You're in Detroit. I don't know. Maybe he averaged 30 last year in Detroit. I don't know.
He didn't.
I'm telling you.
He didn't.
He didn't do what Caleb Martin did on the highest levels. So that one. And by the way, the contract is so team friendly. Mm-hmm. $7 million, $8 mm-hmm. million, something like that. Quentin mm-hmm. Grimes is restricted free agents. That's someone else's problem now. Go ahead, Philly. Do what you will.
Right.
And a second-round pick, you got it. I think it's Philly's own second-round pick that they're getting back, by the way.
Yeah.
So that's like Chicago.
That's like Chicago getting their own 2025 or 26 pick back from the Spurs in a Zach LaVine deal where they managed to
Speaking of losers.
There we go. I was thinking Chicago or the Phoenix Suns. The Suns because they wrecked the rest of their year. And now there's a lot more questions now because they botched this whole thing.
If it was, like I said, show up Friday morning, hey, everybody, how's it going? And everyone's just happy and ready to go to work, then it'd be fine. But it's not. And so you're in deep now, right? The Bulls, look, man, Bulls. I get it. You have a mandate from ownership. I think there's a better way to do it. If you're going to do that, you're mm-hmm. going to do the mandate from ownership mm-hmm. that we never tank. There's a better way to do it. And they're not doing it. And I'll tell you, I know there's a better way to do it. So Miami does every year. They have a mandate from ownership that they don't tank. And they don't bottom out other than that one time we won't mention.
No, we don't have to go there.
they always want to like completely forget. Like, and they're like, okay, Dwayne Wade was worth it. I was like, was Michael Beasley worth it?
Michael Beasley.
No? Okay. All right.
16-66 or something like that. 2 years after winning the championship.
That team was awful.
Objectively.
That team was awful.
Objectively.
But point being, if Chicago, that's your mandate, there's a better way to do it than the way you've been doing it. And what I mean by that is you got to draft better.
Mm-hmm.
You got to draft replacements for the okay players that you have right now. And then you move the high money ones. So Vooch should have got moved 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe. Right? Zach LaVine should have mm-hmm. been moved rather than paying him. And you should have just been bringing up his replacement. And just keep that. That's how you do it. If you're going to do it that way, you got to be excellent at scouting, excellent at drafting, excellent at your minor league operation and developing talent. That's what you got to do.
Their minor league operation is the Chicago White Sox. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Amin L. Hassan. Don't forget to check him out on Meadowlark Media on SiriusXM NBA Radio, where sometimes we will do shows together. My man, I will see you at All-Star Weekend. Don't forget to send me all the invites to all the things that you will be going to.
I'll send them all your way right now. Are you getting in on Wednesday or Thursday or Thursday. Friday?
Thursday. I'm there Thursday afternoon.
You know, I'm a real one. I get there on Wednesday, nice and early, get a lay of the land.
Yeah. I don't need that much San Francisco in my life. I'll be burnt out by Sunday anyway. I'll be tired by Sunday afternoon. Sunday morning when I wake up.
Sunday, I'm gone. I'm not staying for the game.
Yeah, lucky you. I have to stay and cover the game.
I'm an adult. I get in, I do all my work early, and then Sunday I watch the game at home.
Look at you. And you get to see Adam Silver. We get to talk to the commissioner on Saturday, I think. Well,
yeah, you do. I just sit there.
You're not. You'll be invited.
Hold on. You're talking about the State of the Union address. You're not talking about like.
Yeah, the State of the Union. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. State of the Union. I show up. I sit next to you. That's how I get on NBA TV. You're like, oh, there you go. Vinny's asking a question. Amin's sitting next to him. drinking water.
The two dark spots. There's two
Chris Haynes is somewhere there, too.
There's Chris Haynes. Wait, there's David Aldridge. Wait, there's Mark Spears. I guess that's it. Thanks to Amin L. Hassan. Thanks to Dakota London and the entire team that worked so hard behind the scenes on this show. I'll be back Monday, back home, with another episode of The Good Word. Until then, everybody be safe.